The text is the reading from Joshua 24, which we have just heard. My daughter, my youngest daughter, is 14 years old. And since this year our congregation has altered its traditional calendar and scheduled Confirmation Sunday during Reformation weekend, her confirmation service is coming in just a few weeks. She is very excited. Excited partly, I guess, because the months and years of classes and instruction are coming to an end. She has been taught the commandments and the creed and the Lord's Prayer. She has learned the basic lessons she will need to live a life of faith, and she is ready. She's a serious kid, my daughter. And she senses what a milestone in her spiritual life this confirmation ceremony represents. And although she is kind of a shy person, like her father, she is genuinely looking forward, I think, to the opportunity to stand in front of the congregation and declare publicly, as she has been taught, that faith by which she intends to live and for which she is prepared to die. Confirmation services are wonderful times with their strong reminders of God's great deeds and promises and the ready response of the confirmands, young men and women who have been taught what God has done for them in Christ and given to them in their baptism. It's a great time, Confirmation Day. And all of this preparation and expectation for my daughter's Confirmation Day was rolling around in my head when this text landed on my desk for this Sunday, for this day's chapel. And I read it and I thought, it's confirmation for the people of Israel. The long course of instruction classes is over. It lasted 40 years in the wilderness. They have been taught the lessons they need to know to form and inform their life of faith. God has given them his law through Moses and cut his covenant with the people and given them a promise that will last forever. And now at Shechem, it's time to stand up and be counted, to say publicly in front of God and everybody what and who they believe. It's confirmation day at Shechem. And that means it's time for some serious choices. This is a dramatic and a memorable and, may I say, heroic text of Scripture, especially the way we have it framed and selected in the pericope. A longish section is left out of the middle, in which Yahweh himself, speaking through Joshua, reminds the people of Israel of all the great and gracious acts of choosing, calling, leading, protecting, and giving that Yahweh has already done for them since the time of Abraham. And now it is based on all that history, all that Yahweh has done to create and to save this people, that Joshua calls on them to fear Yahweh and to make a decision. Now, I hope that you don't get sidetracked at this point because you're allergic to the word decision. This text does not attribute conversion and faith to a human decision. It simply recognizes that the Holy Spirit, through the word of the gospel, the word of promise, elicits a response in human hearts, a response which includes and involves our minds and our wills. God does that. It's a good thing. It's a decision that grows out of what Yahweh has done and keeps on doing. Joshua tells the people that Yahweh has done it all, and now they are safely settled in the land, living in cities they didn't build, eating grapes and olives from groves that they didn't plant. No other so-called God has ever done anything like that. And Joshua says, now it's time to choose. Either fear Yahweh, the God who has done this for you, serve him faithfully, or if that's too hard, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Some choice. Remember that Yahweh has called you, created you, brought you out of slavery, provided for your every need, and now has even given you this land of peace and plenty. But hey, make your own decision. If you want to blow all that off and serve some other so-called gods that never did anything for you, go ahead. And then, before the people have a chance to answer Joshua's challenge, he declares his own faith in courageous words that ring like a bell, words that you all know, words that many of you have posted in some prominent place in your homes. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, says Joshua, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is nothing if not heroic. The closest passage in literature that I can think of that compares with this ringing call of Joshua is the king's speech before the Battle of Agincourt in Shakespeare's Henry V. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country lost. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. He which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. Like King Henry rallying his troops, Joshua's words to Israel make your heart beat faster, make your blood run hot. They make you ready to take up arms and march to war. They make you ready to stand up with all the tribes of Israel and say, as they did, without the least hesitation, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. There is a tinge of the heroic in every confirmation service. Nowadays, of course, we dress up these occasions in white robes and flowers and nice gifts. At least my daughter hopes we do. But if you listen carefully to what we ask the confirmands to say in that service, the decisions and the choices we ask them to make publicly, then there's an echo from that not-so-distant battlefield. There's the clash of arms in deadly struggle, a whiff of smoke and the blood of martyrs. We ask these kids, these 13 and 14-year-old kids, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And we expect them to stand there in front of God and everybody, shoulder to shoulder with the people of Israel and with the noble army of martyrs too, and look us right in the eye and say, yes, I do so intend with the help of God. We ask them, in other words, now is the time to fish or cut bait. Do you really mean it? With all this faith talk, are you ready to live that way? Are you ready to die that way? And my daughter, God help her, will answer, yes. That's an emotional and inspiring scene. It was when Joshua called the people and spoke to them, and it is today when believers stand up and confess their faith in Yahweh, the God who creates and saves us. At that confirmation service in a few weeks, There will be parents with a tear or two in their eyes as they hear their children stand and speak those words of faith. Maybe there were tears at Shechem, too, in the eyes of people who remembered what Yahweh had done for them, and joyfully and confidently and without any hesitation said a decisive no to everything that would distract them from serving Yahweh, and shouted yes to serving Him. Because He is our God. These are words of heroic, fearless faith. These people are pumped. They are ready to swear. They are ready to die. An emotional and inspiring scene. And that's as far as the pericope goes. What a beautiful outline. God's saving action, our confident response of heroic faith. Amen. But it's actually perhaps a little misleading to leave it there, because Joshua did not leave it there. All the people of Israel were so sure of their faith and their commitment, but Joshua actually went on after their confident acclamation of faith. He went on and he said, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." The confirmands of Israel at Shechem were so confident and sure of themselves, as confirmands sometimes are. But Joshua's words were prophetic and true. The people would forsake Yahweh. They would serve foreign gods. And He would turn and bring disaster on them after He had been good to them. One pastor I knew used to tell his confirmands much the same thing. Not long before their confirmation service, he would gather them together and he said, "Chances are most of you will fall away. I know from years of experience that at least half of you will just drift away from church and you will not keep these promises that you make at your confirmation. And many of you I will never even see again after the confirmation service." Now you can argue about this as a pedagogical tactic, perhaps. But it certainly got the kids' attention. When he told them this in a matter-of-fact voice, they would sit around the table in the classroom looking at each other like the disciples when Jesus predicted His betrayal and asking the same question, "Is it I? Well, is it? It couldn't be us, could it? We're strong in our faith. We're sure of our commitment. As for us and our houses," that's your cue. "As for us and our houses, we're even at the seminary for crying out loud. Surely that demonstrates an almost heroic devotion to serving the Lord." And yet, Joshua was right. You are not able to serve the Lord. Neither am I. He is a holy God. You and I haven't even passed our holiness entrance exams, let alone graduated with a master's degree in holiness. He is a jealous God. But we flirt with our alternative little godlets, and we show our creativity in cooking up new ones. We, even we who know what He has done for us, even we who can read it all in the original languages, even we who are charged with passing it all on to generation after generation, we cannot do it right. And we do not do it right. And maybe God would be better off getting somebody else to be his people, his witnesses, his martyrs. And yet, here we are, we who cannot do it right. Here, because Yahweh's latter mercies outshone his first. Here, because when our sins and failures ought to have wrecked everything, Yahweh's promise of forgiveness came true in flesh and blood. Here, because the disaster of our unfaithfulness, foretold by Joshua, fell not on our heads but on Christ's head. Here, not because of the strength of our commitment, but because of the power of his forgiveness. Stare at that mercy. Look it right in the face for a while. And then choose whom you will serve. Consider what you've earned, but also consider more so what he has done. And then stand with the people of Israel and say whether this is the faith by which you intend to live and for which you would even die. Just like Confirmation Day at Shechem. Amen.